doing a series on, if you press play on it, there we go, I'm still standing. There we go. Talking about resilience. How can we as a people of God develop a resilience in our faith? Because being a Christian can be a tough gig. Amen? Not just with what's going on in the world, but sometimes just even within our own life, we struggle as Christians and we tend to let ourselves down. And when that happens, we become discouraged and can have a tendency to give up. But God wants us to work through those things to be able to develop some resilience, some stubbornness, some grit, where we say, okay, look, you know, I did wrong, but I'm still standing. I'm not going to give up on my faith. And that's a very powerful thing. So we're looking at ways that we can do that through different things that are available to us, because all of us, no matter what age group, no matter what level of life we're at or what stage, sphere of influence we're involved in, all of us can develop that resilience. And so I thought I'm going to show some images of resilience, and I don't want you... This is not a political message, although it is sponsored by the Republican... No. So in that situation, all three people have shown a level of resilience. That's Rocky from the series Rocky. I'm actually taking some of the guys at Teen Challenge through a Bible study on Rocky on Sunday nights.
Love Rocky.
And you would be surprised at the level of memory they have from Rocky scripture, which is frightening at times. And particularly Rocky 3 and 4. No one seemed to like Rocky 1, and that was the first one, that was the original. And I don't know if anyone knows this person here, but that's Bishop Murray from New South Wales, Orthodox Church from New South Wales. Now, all these people showed a level of resilience in the challenges that they faced. Now, Donald Trump, I don't know if you know who he is, but he's the guy there. He actually showed that fist in the air actually showed a level of resilience after an assassination attempt, where he was able to get back up and tell his people to keep on fighting. I'm not saying either way, I'm not being political, all right? It's just an example of resilience. Who here has got... I shouldn't ask that in Teen Challenge, should I? Yes, I'll tell you, you're cheap. He showed resilience to get up and do that. Regardless of how you feel about him, he showed resilience in order to do that. The good old Rocky Balboa. Don't get excited. It's only a movie. But those steps there in the first Rocky, which is the classic, which is the foundation. When he first started training to become a world heavyweight fighter, he struggled to get up those steps. And so when he got up to those steps, he did that pose, which is now an actual statue in Philadelphia at the bottom of those steps. That's the steps to the Museum of Art in Philadelphia. And they've actually, he donated the statue that was made for the movie down the bottom of those steps. But that, when he got to the top of that, that was a demonstration of his resilience to push through, physically push through to get to that stage where he could do it by running up the stairs and accomplish it. Bishop Murray is an Orthodox Christian, very influential person. And he showed resilience when there was a young man that came in and started attacking people in his church with a knife and actually attacked him. And he actually lost a right eye from that attack. But the next Sunday, he was back there preaching the gospel after that attack. That shows a great deal of resilience, doesn't it? Yeah. All three incidences are a great example, particularly Rocky, above all, of people showing resilience to still be standing after physical violence and physical challenges. I believe that this is what God wants us to be, is to become a people who are strong and resilient in whatever circumstances we face, particularly as people of faith in the Word of God, in the person of God, that we can still be standing. The thing is here, is that resilience is a principle of life. All three circumstances show that resilience is not just a biblical principle, but it is a life principle, in that it doesn't matter if it's in the political realm or in the sports realm or in the spiritual realm, in order to succeed at what we are doing, to still be standing after taking all the hits, the quality of resilience is needed. Whatever circumstance you are going through in life, it may not seem like it's a deep spiritual attack or whatever. It may just seem like it's a natural thing. Maybe even the mistakes that you've made and you feel like, man, I'm getting attacked. I'm suffering these things. It doesn't matter if it's spiritual, political, physical, social, whatever it is, there needs to be a level of resilience in order to push through. And so throughout this series, we've been looking at some of the things that we can utilize, assets or tools, whatever, that we can utilize to help develop resilience. We looked at how resilience can come through having good advisors, that we surround ourselves with mature people, wise people, who have the wisdom, the words of encouragement to be able to help us rise up in the face of the challenges. And one of the tools that is needed in all these three situations, I think Donald Trump, Rocky, and even Bishop Maori had wise and mature people who they could turn to gain some valuable perspective and support about how they could overcome the challenges before them. The whole thing about Rocky in the movie Rocky is that he had people that were there to encourage him in the difficult times. We also looked at how, in order to become resilient, we need to embrace change. That the reality is life is always changing. And so if we can get our head around the fact that life is always changing, that we are in essence not in control of our life. We are not in control of our circumstances. We're not as powerful as what we think we are. If we can get our head around that, then we are more open to be resilient when things start to change around us. It's not a question of giving up and compromising. Society is changing. The values and foundations of our society is changing. It just doesn't mean that we just go with the flow. Oh, well, you know, no one believes in God. Well, we'll just change. You know, we don't change our values. We don't change the teachings of Scripture because society is changing. But what it means for us as a church is that maybe sometimes our method of reaching out to our community is changing because society is changing. We stand true on the Bible. We stand true on the teachings and the principles of God. But maybe the way that we do things has to change. And so, you know, we can be stuck in the mud and, you know, still wear a tie. The preacher still wears a tie and we still sing old songs and all that kind of stuff. But the fact is people would come into a church and think, why are you still stuck in the 50s? So there are some aspects that we need to change. We need to understand that change happens. And if we can embrace that, then when things do change, we don't get all upset. We say, okay, how can I adapt to this? And that builds resilience in our life. All three people had, in one way or another, had their life changed where they weren't able to control the events that happened to them, and their ability to ride that change, to react to that change in a powerful way and still achieve, shows a level of resilience. The Bible says this, and this has been quoted the last few days. Romans 12, verse 1, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That is why, Roger, it's good to donate your organs, because you are becoming a living sacrifice. Don't go against the word of God. Holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. If you're a visitor here, we're not serious. But if you leave, if you don't come back next week, it's a different story. Yeah. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Which reminds me, Aaron, we talked about this scripture this morning, and I apologize because I rebuked you for it. No. I just felt, whether this is the word of God, whether this is spiritual pastor or whatever, I just felt this for you, is that God can see what's happening in your life, and there are good things that are happening, and he's just saying to you, just enjoy the ride. Don't allow the frustrations of not happening. I'm not going to shoot him, Justin. Look like you're getting out of the way. It's like, whoa, I'm not taking that hit. Obviously, you're not called to security. God's just saying, just enjoy the ride. Don't let the frustration, the impatience of frustration, the impatience that comes from whatever, don't let that frustration rob you of the joy of the journey. It may not come as quickly as you want, but just know that God is doing something there and just trust him in it, all right? Justin, you can now sit back properly. Resilience, brother. So God calls us to be a people who are not being conformed to the patterns or the changes of this world. We talk about how society is changing. But by developing a mindset of resilience, that we are instead being transformed. See, the world is changing and we can conform to that, but what God says, don't conform, be transformed. And that takes place by the renewing of our mind. When we start to align ourselves up with the teachings of Scripture, with the principles of Scripture, that we start to want to do things God's way, do his will, and become a change, see us being changed into the image of Christ, who himself is our example, the best example of someone who stood standing, who was resilient in the face of much persecution and suffering. So we want to look at another tool that we have access to help us develop resilience in our life, and that is to embrace the vision that God has for our lives. When we grab hold of the vision that God has for our life, friends, it develops a resilience in us. When a person develops a clear vision of where they are going, understanding the value of that vision in relation to what it means to our world and the benefits it can bring and what the ultimate prize is when we attain that vision, then that insight, that sense of purpose becomes a powerful driving force towards building resilience. When you grab hold of the vision that God has for your life, the purpose that he has called you to, if it goes from not just being in your head, because we talk to people all the time, God has a vision for your life. I know the plans that I have for you, plans. But when it becomes something that is real inside of you, that drops into your heart, friends, when difficult times comes, you're not leaning upon your own understanding, but you say, God, through it all, I know that you have a plan for me. I can't see it at times. I'm facing difficulty, but I'm going to still be standing because of what you're going to accomplish. Amen? Yes, we are standing on the promises of Jesus. Donald Trump has a vision, whether you like it or not, of becoming the president of the United States because he believes, he has a personal conviction that under his direction, he can make America become a strong and wealthy nation. And it's that vision, that sense of calling that enabled him to get back up after an assassin's attempt on his life to tell the people to keep fighting until he wins the presidential election. Now, people might say there are certain ego traits with it. Of course. That's in all of us. And some people might even doubt that sincerity. Maybe true. But what I know is looking at that, I think he has some resilience. He really believes in what he's fighting for. In Rocky Balboa. I knew from Rocky Book of Fighting, chapter 1, verse 3, he has a vision of becoming the world heavyweight fighter, and therefore he understood the price that he had to pay physically and mentally in order to prepare himself, to prepare his body and his mind to be match ready. And in each Rocky movie, I think we're up to 25 now, Rocky is faced with a challenge of needing to find the motivation to fight his opponent. In each movie, it's like he loses that motivation because of wealth, because of fame or whatever. And it comes to a point where along the way, he loses that sense of being a fighter. But at some point, he has to dig down and find that motivation, find that calling on his life. And once he finds that, it's the circle of the movie. Once he finds that motivation, that drive and that desire to fight, he then is able to commit himself to the rigors of training that's involved. And that's for us. You know, when things are going well, we tend to let go of our certain disciplines in our life, and, you know, we're just enjoying life, and then suddenly we hit a roadblock or we face some opposition. It's kind of like, okay, what do I really believe? For me as a Christian, what do I really believe in the face of opposition, in the face of failure? Am I still prepared to get up and fight again for what I believe in, for the conviction that I have of what God has called me to do? Amen? Oh, come on, let's go. I'm ready. He even does creative dancing. Bishop Maori was able to get back up the next Sunday after losing an eye to preach the gospel after he'd been attacked by a knife, because friends, deep down, he has this vision, this conviction in his life that God has called him to be a preacher of the gospel to the people. And it's like, I've got to get back. I've lost an eye, but I've got to get back and share this. I've got to do what God has called me to do. See, having a vision, an understanding of the reason why we exist, gives us discipline. Enables us to have courage, and it builds resilience in our life. This is the power of vision. Having a vision, having an understanding of why we exist, gives us a conviction in what we are doing and raises our level of determination so that when the challenges come, because we can see where we're going, because we can see the reward that's ahead of us, we go to training. We do the work. We do the discipline things because we know the value of that vision, how powerful it is, how life-changing it can be, and we're prepared to pay the price, no matter how difficult it can be. See, in our journey of the Christian faith, how convicted are we? How convinced are we? Because, friends, when we get out there into the world, they don't care what you believe in. They want to put their stuff on you, and it's only the people who have that conviction that can stand up and say, no, I don't want that. I believe in something better. I believe in a better way. And I tell you, when people see the church rising up with conviction, with discipline, with determination, with resilience, that becomes it doesn't even mean that we become aggressive. We just stand our ground, and people are like, whoa, what's going on here? Suddenly someone believes in something. I want to know what that is. Amen. So the question is, because having a vision is not just a biblical principle, but a life principle that enables us to accomplish whatever field we're in and helps us to develop a level of resilience, the question we have to ask ourselves is, what vision do we have for our life? What vision are we following after? Is it a God-driven vision, or is it a self-driven vision? See, the Bible is very clear that that we must move away from having a vision for ourselves, for our own gratification, to serve our own selfish needs and wants, to put that aside and to now start embracing the vision and calling that God has for our life. And see, the only way we can find true meaning and purpose and satisfaction in this life is by setting aside our own wants and needs and desires and vision and to seek what God wants for us. Jesus taught us this. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. He said, make the kingdom of God your vision. Make it your motivation in all that you do, with the opportunities, the days and the years that are ahead for us as we live this life. Seek for the kingdom of God. Seek for the kingdom of God. Make the kingdom of God and his will the primary vision of our life. To seek, to understand what it is God has called you to do as a worker, as a son and daughter in the kingdom. What is it that God has given you the responsibility of to help build his kingdom? See, all of us are called to help build the kingdom of God. The question is, what is it that God has called you to do? Look at the gifts and talents that you have in your life. Mine is not to be a hairdresser in the kingdom of God. I know that for sure. It is plainly obvious. But what are the gifts and talents that have been formed over the years of your life that God has been preparing for you, preparing in you, to help build the kingdom of God? And when we do that, when we start to have that focus on the kingdom and his righteousness, then we start to look at life from a different perspective. It starts to affect our decision making. It starts to affect our relationships, our family life. It starts to affect our finances. It starts to affect our career choices. It starts to affect how we utilize our time. Friends, I am a pastor of the church, of a church. Therefore, on a Saturday night, I can't be out till 3 o'clock in the morning, party and do the Rocky Power dance, and then rock up the church on a Sunday. Because I have to say, I've got a job to do tomorrow. And so I go to bed at 7 o'clock in the morning and don't wake up until... You've got to say, there's some things I just can't do because I'm called to be a pastor. There are some things that you are called to do that might require sacrifices in your life. But friends, are you seeking first the kingdom of God, or are you seeking first your own gratification? See, God has actually given us life. We are here living and breathing and even yawning at times. We are here living and breathing. Sorry, I apologize, Dave. I locked you out last night and it's because I don't like you. But no, it's not true. It's Roger's fault. Got the keys to Teen Challenge. And so when I leave at night, 3 o'clock in the morning, I have to shut the gate behind me and unlock Dave out. So I apologise for that. Just to put in context. Thank you. Yeah, you gave me bad advice, but thank you. But I've been a naughty boy today. We are actually given life. Who amongst us is breathing here today? Amen. We have been given life in order to become partners with God to help build his kingdom, to see his kingdom come and his will be done. You are here because God has a purpose for you. Don't tell yourself that you're no good. Maybe it's just the fact that you don't know what that purpose is. That's all it is. Don't look at yourself and think, oh, I'm a failure, I can't do anything. Maybe go to God and say, God, what job do you want me to do? See, God did not just save us from the fires of hell, God saved us so that we could join his army or join his work crew to build up his kingdom. We exist and to serve and do the will of the King. This is our whole purpose. And Jesus taught us this. He said, this is one of the main things. In order to pray, he says, this is what you should be praying for. Not just saying, seek first the kingdom of God. He says, but when you pray, pray this. He says, our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done here on earth. That's how we should be praying. God, maybe you don't know what God's will is for your life. Well, just start there. God, your kingdom come and your will be done. And show me how that works for me. And let God take you on a journey. See, we need to understand that one of the greatest visions, one of the greatest purpose we have for living, that we can have on our life, is to see where we fit to play our part in helping to build the kingdom of God on the earth. There is no greater calling than to do that. And as much as we would like to have the fancy car and the big house and the best holidays or have the most important positions on this earth, ultimately, that will all count for nothing. It'll become a wasted effort if it doesn't match up with what God has called us to do. See, you, as I said earlier, the principle of resilience is a life thing. It doesn't matter if it's political, sport, spiritual, social, whatever. You can achieve a lot if you're resilient in the field that you're in. And you may have great success. And all these people are having some success. But when it comes down to it, is it what God has called us to do, or is it something they're seeking after for themselves? See, one of the passages of Scripture that has affected my life from the very beginning, when I became a born-again Christian, is taken from Matthew chapter 16. It says this. Jesus asks, who do you say that I am? And then suddenly Peter gets this revelation of Christ. And he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's like, wow, you've been here all the time. I can see it now. And then Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. See, when I became a born-again Christian and made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of my life, and I read this, and Jesus said, I will build my church as a follower of Christ. I said, Lord, I want to help you build. help use me to help build your kingdom. I don't know what that meant. I had no idea what it meant to build the kingdom of God. And so I was just in a local church, my local church at Findon, and just served the church in whatever it could do. I was handing out communion. In those days, we used to have buckets for offering. I used to hand out the offering. At times, I'd do the counting of the offering. When they saw that there was money being taken out of the offering, they stopped me from doing that. But the charges have yet to be proven. I used to, back in the day, boys and girls, we used to have an overhead projector to project. I used to do the overhead projector. I used to rock up at work. We don't have them here. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever was needed to help build the church, I was like, yeah, I'm in. Because I saw Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. All right, if that's what you're interested in, I'm in. I'm a follower of Christ. I want to help build the church. I had no agenda. They asked me to do communion. I panicked, had the runs, all that. I used to lead worship with a worship band as well in church. I used to do some occasional preaching, always nervous, sweaty hands. My wife used to when just before I got up to preach, she'd grab my hand just to see how sweaty my hands were. As a terrified person, she started laughing. And so that's why I've been trying to get back at her all these years. Isn't that funny? You're so terrified. But I never asked for it. I never promoted myself. I just said, God, I just want to serve. We ran a youth group, teenage youth groups for about 10, 11 years, running a youth group. We did whatever it was required of us to do. And so when I read that Jesus said, I will build my church as a follower of Christ, I realized that my whole purpose for existence was not about me, but it's just about God. I just want to serve you. I'm a follower of you. I want to help build. If I have to pass you a brick, I'll be there. Just whatever it is you want me to do. Jesus calls us to pray and seek for his kingdom and his will to be done. And it's in that passage that he says that when we look to build his church, that he will give us the keys of the kingdom. When we want to see the church arise, he said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. In other words, he'd give us the authority to unlock the power that is available to us from Christ himself, the one who has all authority. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And he says, as we build, that not even Satan himself would be able to come against what God is building in his church. It's a vision that God has for our life, but it must become our own personal vision. See, I can talk about it, friends. I can try and convince you. But it's something you've got to grab for yourself and say, God, where do I fit in to this plan? See, God is not asking us to agree with him that it's a good thing. Well, that sounds great. Oh, Jesus is in the church. That's great. God is actually asking us to make it a central vision or motivation of our life, to cause it to consume us, where it becomes the central goal of our life. It's something we can't force people to take up. It only works when it becomes a personal vision for each and every one of us. You know, it doesn't mean that we'll end up pastoring a church. You know, so many people feel like, oh, I've got a vision to help build God's church, and it just means the pulpit, the pulpit, the pulpit. So many people want the pulpit. It's the ultimate goal. It's not. The goal is to, because when we stand before Christ on that great day, he's not going to say, well done, thy good and perfect performer at the pulpit. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You know why? Because you did what I asked you to do. You didn't go seeking for the fame and the glory. And there is no fame and glory in the pulpit, let me tell you. I think we have to lay that type of thinking down and let God lead us and open the doors as to where he feels we are best suited to serve him, to serve his agenda and not our agenda. Having a vision strengthens, it builds resilience because it gives us purpose and direction. It helps guide us in our choices. Everything we look at and saying, does this really help me and the kingdom of God move forward, or is it going to be a distraction? And it builds that commitment. Friends, when we've got it in our heart, when we've got it as the central tenet of who we are, it's like, man, I can't let this go. I'm sorry, but I'm going to turn up on a Sunday morning because I want to be here. This is the vision that God has given me for my life. I would love, friends, to have our own building so I could rock up and not have to set up every week. I would love that. But it is what it is, friends. And I'm committed to it. I'm committed to come up every week and set up and tell everyone off for not doing it my way, but I'm committed to doing it. God bless you, child. Hebrews chapter 12, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, Christians who died for their faith, who were resilient to the point of death, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, every unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Let's be resilient. Let's stick to the cause. Looking away from all that will distract us from Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and is also the finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God, who for the joy set before him, the vision that he had for our life, for salvation, for winning people to the kingdom of God. He saw the reward. He saw the benefit, friends. And in the face of the cross, in the face of suffering and death, he said, I'm willing to go, because the vision is so strong and so powerful. My God is so big, so strong, and so powerful. There's nothing more. But he was so convinced by the vision that he couldn't give it up. Even the fear that would have been there at the crucifixion, knowing that he was going to that, he said, this is for the salvation of the world. How can I give it up? What a vision that he had. Just think of him who endured from sinners such a grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon up and consider it all in comparison with your trials, so you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your mind. Jesus is our example, friends, the leader of this group, to say, friends, if he could show that resilience in the face of that opposition, in the face of that suffering, and he's called us to be a part of him, to be part of something greater, to build his kingdom, life-changing kingdom that affects people's lives, that turns people's lives around, then how can we not show that same resilience, friends, in the face of our opposition? Is it as great as his crucifixion? I don't know, maybe, depending where you live. But here in Strathalbyn, I've got to get up early. Go to church. What a challenge. The reward that comes from having God's vision above our own. In Revelation chapter 2, to the church, in all the seven churches, the letters to the seven churches of Revelation, where Jesus speaks to them, in each church, the seven churches, is the challenge of being resolute in their faith, because they all struggled in the environment that they were living in. They were being persecuted. They were suffering loss. And every time Jesus asked them, show some resilience, hang in there, still be standing, and with the promise, he says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds and your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, and that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardship. That's resilience for my name, and have not grown weary. Verse 7, it says, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him, to the one who is victorious, to the one who is still standing. Friends, will that be us? Will we still be standing? To the one who is victorious, this is the promise. I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. See, Jesus never said, oh, it's going to get better. He just said, man, if you can stand after all that, He didn't even say, I'm going to take that off you. He said, I just want to know, are you at the end of it, after all that pain and suffering and difficulty, are you still going to be standing? And if you are, I will give you, what is it, the paradise, the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God, eternal life. When all the pressure and attacks come our way on our journey of faith, friends, there is a great reward on offer for us who can still be standing. This is the promise of God. And in every situation of those seven churches, Jesus firstly said, this is who I am. This is look at me and see who I am in the midst of your circumstances and suffering. Get a vision of me. Get a vision of who I am as the living Son of God. And know that if you stand strong, I will reward you for your resilience. And so again, I come and ask, what vision do we have for our life? Is it a God-driven vision, or it is a self-driven vision? Friends, if you are driven for yourself, you will reap the rewards of self, which is death. But friends, if it's a God-driven vision and you stand strong, know that God will give you eternal life, the right to eat from the tree of life, eternity, life with him. The cost may be great, friends, but what a great reward we have. Let's pray. I just paused for effect so you could clap. I just paused to wipe my head. Lord, we just ask God. So many challenges that are ahead for us. Friends, I can't promise good things for you. I can't promise an easy way. It's not in Scripture. Jesus says, like I said, in those churches, if you put up, if you can push through it, not even promising to take anything away, but if you can stand your ground. And God, today, Holy Spirit, today, we need your help in that. Because we know that life is not easy. There are challenges for all of us. But Lord, we ask, Holy Spirit, for your help today to help us find that resilience within us. Find that conviction. Find that vision. That purpose for why we are here. So that we can become a people who are determined to see it to the end. No matter what challenges may come our way, that Lord, at the end of the day, we will still be standing. We'll be overcomers, and we'll be able to eat from that tree of life. I want this for myself. I want it for my family. I want this for my church. I want this, Lord, for every person in this community that we come across, Lord, to be able to invite them in to the tree of life that is Jesus. And so help us, God. Lord, I pray for those who might be struggling with their own struggles and failures and discouragements. God, we all go through it. Help us to understand none of us are perfect. The question is, can we get back up again and fight again? Fight another day to push through, to put the failures behind us, and to keep pressing on towards the goal that you have for us. Holy Spirit, help us today. Friends, today, invite the Holy Spirit in. He's here to help. God has sent us his Holy Spirit to walk alongside us as a helper. Wow, as a helper. someone to help us in our struggles. Because you know why? God understands we struggle. We struggle. This is common to all of us. But we have a helper. Thank you, Lord, for that. Today, Lord, I speak vision over each and every person's life. Purpose, vision, identity, calling, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to finish off with a song, I Will Build My Life, as we sung this morning. And it's a great song. It's a prayer for us. And if you need prayer this morning, if you want prayer this morning, I would love to pray with you. I'd love to stand with you and start to believe God for the purpose and vision that He has for your life. Come forward. I'd love to pray with you. If you have other needs, come forward. Whatever it is, just pray.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, a name above every other name. Jesus, the only one could ever say,
Lord.
Worthy of every breath. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart.
Let the enemy deceive you. You have a gift on your life. You are born with a purpose. He knitted you together in your mother's womb. He knows you intimately. He wants to bring out that gift that you had from the very beginning, that you have now.
Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever. We live for you.
Release, Lord,
oh,
in the name
we live
of Jesus.
For you.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Release for God.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath.